Hello, everybody. Can I get somebody to come up and pray for me first? Yay, come on then. Bella's going to pray for me.
Dear Lord, thank you for Johnny. Amen.
Yay. Thank you.
Today, we're learning from John 14, and it's a fantastic piece of scripture, and there's a lot that we can draw from this. And I just love that we've got generations here. And this was the theme of the Pioneers Leaders Conference in Southampton that we've just come back from. And that was an epic journey there, wasn't it, Dave? But that's for another time to tell you that story. But because we've got generations, and we've had some wonderful youth leading the worship earlier, I'm going to ask my lovely son to read this passage from the Bible. Come on, Joseph. Come on.
Let not your heart be troubled. Your belief in God, believe also in me. In my Father's house are many rooms. If it not were so, I would have told you. I go to prepare a place for you. And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come and receive you to myself, that where I am, there you may also be. And where I go, you know. And the way, you know. Thomas said to him, Lord, we do not know where you are going, and how we can know the way. Jesus said to him, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me.
Yay. Thank you. That was a relief, because I probably would have read it wrong. I just love the way Jesus in this is talking about truth. And it's good to know the truth in a world of so many uncertainties, isn't it? And who can we trust these days? Personally, I mean, just in one sphere, we're talking politics here, and I won't mention the B word because I know that our nation is kind of divided on this, but do you feel like you can trust the leaders of this country? Do you feel like you can trust the politicians? Because I found it really difficult at the last election to make a decision on who to vote for. I was really stumped, and quite a lot of the people that I spoke to, they just said, I don't trust anybody at the moment. I don't even know who I trust. And then there's the media, and the media we rely on to give us news of current affairs. And quite often in the media, things are distorted. They're embellished on, they're misquoted. There is some truth in it. I'm not saying there isn't, but it depends on which paper you look at as to what point of views they're going to give. And then also the same thing happens with television, I'm afraid. And even if they say they're impartial, there'll always be an editor, and the editor will have an opinion, and that will influence the way the news comes across. And then the other thing is that there are some stories that just blow up like a big drama, and then once everything's just, you know, that's just kind of, the drama's finished and the main thing is over and the people are still being affected by what's going on, but it kind of just dies down and we don't hear much about all these people whose lives have been affected. Now, I'd like to put a picture up of the Pioneers Leaders Conference. Okay, doesn't that look amazing? These are some people in worship that are just sort of acting stuff out with flags and things like that. And I don't think it actually does it any justice. That there was a picture of a lady that was of a tree and maps and things like that. There's some really exciting things happening. But the one thing, I just wanted to bring something back with me that I could talk to you about that we can connect with from there. And the thing that really touched me was that they gave an award to a small church in London. And this is the first time they've given an award, and it's an award for outstanding contribution to their community. And I thought it was going to be this really fancy schmancy church that had led 150 people to Jesus in a week, and it was going to be this massive thing. And no, it was a small church of 50 people. And it's the Latimer Church. It's the church that was right next to the Granville Towers. And these people, these three leaders came up. They were so humble. It just drew tears to my eyes. And it was very simple what they did. They had very little resources. They had a small church, but they just reached out into their community. And they gave them a safe place to grieve. And they grieved with them. They walked with them. They stood with them. That's modeling Jesus. And the other thing that happened, then that quite inspired me, but the other thing that happened was there was another bigger church. And they didn't have enough room to lead those services, you know, because they needed to sort of pray into things and help people out and through things. So they partnered with the bigger church. They didn't fight against or sort of try to get into competition with the bigger church. They partnered with them, and together with the resources together, they've had a massive effect on the community. And so, you know, it's just so wonderful that we can all work together in the body of Christ. And I think we could do this here in Marlow. We've got churches together, which is an amazing incentive. But we don't need to be in competition with each other. We all believe the same thing, so we all can work together. I know I'm a bit of an idealist, you know. Stick with me. I'll just go on to talk about the Bible now, because that's, you know, really important to grasp something from here. And this was written a long time ago. If you can go back to the mic, sorry, back and forth. This was written a long time ago. So how can we, in 2018, relate to this passage? I think it's a lot, we can draw a lot from this, because here Jesus is telling, just to give you an idea, and you do know the story, but I'll just go through it. He's telling his disciples that he's going away, and I'm pretty sure his disciples don't understand the enormity of he's going away. He really is. He's dying and he's coming back. But he says to them, "Do not be troubled." How many of us are troubled? We get things and we worry and, you know, it just doesn't help us. And I find I worry, then the thing happens, and then you look back and think, why did I waste all that time worrying? And so many times it says, do not be anxious. And we really need to grasp a hold of that. You know, we really need to. And he's encouraging them. He says, my Father's house has many mansions. Or in some translations it says, many rooms. I love that. Many rooms. There's lots of space for all of us. And it's his house. It's not a hotel and it's not a B&B. It's his house. We're going to be living and dwelling with him. Closeness and intimacy. Wonderful. Fantastic. There's a lot of good things to derive from this. And so when the disciple asks, but they just don't know, where are you going? How do I know the way? And Jesus says, I am the way, the truth, and the life. Who doesn't want to know the way to go? Who doesn't want to know the truth? And who doesn't know the way to life and not death? Now, what I really love about this is that you can't confuse it with anything else. It is what it is. I've looked at tons of translations, and they all say the same thing. So there's no, oh, well, it might be that, and it might be this. He's very definite about what he's saying. He is the way. He's not a way. He is the way. And what I would like to read to you now is, this is a real challenge for me, because reading English is hard, but now I'm reading in Portuguese, so let's see how it goes. And if I get it wrong, you won't even know, although I've got my mother over there who will know. Never mind. Here goes. Mesmo vós sabes por onde eu conheço o caminho. Desde o Tomei, Senhor, nós não sabemos de onde vais e como podemos saber o caminho. Diz-lhe de Jesus, eu sou o caminho e a verdade e a vida. Ninguém vem ao Pai senão por mim. So if you know any Latin, or people don't do Latin these days, do they? At one time, it's like, well, I read Latin. But, you know, if you know any sort of, I don't know, Spanish, you might recognize some of the words in there. But I sometimes think it's quite almost poetic to listen to words of scripture in another language. And it's just an affirmation, I feel, for truth. And we can stand on that. We don't need to be embarrassed about that and ashamed about that. He comforts us. He comforts his disciples then, and he comforts us today in this definite knowledge of the truth in him. And this is a bit more difficult. And Jesus says to him, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me. Now, you know what? That is sometimes, I don't know, you might not struggle with it. I do. Because it says, no one comes to the Father except through me. Why does that sound limiting? Because it sounds like, is that the only way? Is there no back door? Is there no other way? What about the people out in some island somewhere? These are the things that, you know, people might ask me if they're not Christians, and then I don't know where to go with the question. But I don't think we need to run away from these things. We need to explore these things. We need to discuss these things and wrestle with them with everybody else here. Because when people come to you with those questions, it's good to have an answer. You can say, I don't know. That's honest, isn't it? But I think, and my view on this, is that he might say, no one comes to the Father except through me, but he doesn't say how. How does our Lord, that loves us so much, appeal to people through Jesus? We don't even know. There's amazing ways, there's dreams and visions, there's all sorts of things that we can't even explain that he works in. And Jesus is for everybody. Is that limiting? No, it's not. It's freedom. It's there's so many paths to which God can sort of appeal to us that we don't even know it. So I'm just really encouraged that now I don't feel difficult with this piece of scripture. I feel okay with it. I'm fine with it. I can accept it. So I just want to sort of speak some words of encouragement over you. And I just, if you could just sort of close your eyes and just get into a place where you feel comfortable. I just want you to understand that it doesn't matter what you do in this church. It doesn't matter if you are the person that makes the coffee or if you are a leader in the leadership team. You are just as important. And you are part of the way God is working in people's lives. You're part of the deliverance of this message. And I just want you to know that each and every one of you, I believe, has a divine appointment. Each and every one of you has been allocated people to speak to. You will have somebody that comes to you for advice, somebody who leans on you. They see something in you. What I want to say to you is this. That is something very special. And what I want to impart to you is, how can we freshly communicate to these people what is Jesus, the way? How do we freshly tell them about the way? How do we freshly tell them about the truth? And how do we properly and enthusiastically and full of passion tell them about life? Because I can tell you this, everybody is searching. I've been there. I've tried everything. This is the only thing that works. Thank you.
Thanks, Johnny. That was great. So Jesus says, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me. And to me, I'd like to kind of just take that little tiny bit and just look at it in reverse. So the first bit, no one comes to the Father except through me. To me, when I read that, that comes across as an invitation to closeness. It's an invitation to know God as Father. Anyone can know, can walk around and just be in nature, can see the hills, can see the trees, and they can know God as creator. Anyone can know, you know, and throughout the scriptures, God is, you know, there's unraveling revelation of God, you know, as the provider, as the protector. And, you know, we can know God in many ways. You can know God as Allah, you can know God as Almighty, but Jesus is the one. When he came, he introduced God as Father. I've said it a number of times, but I just want to say it again. When Jesus started the Lord's Prayer, and the disciples said, you know, Jesus, just teach us how to pray, he starts with our Father. Our Father. And when he said that, everything changed. We can know God as Father. And to me, that basically says, no matter what your earthly situation is around your family, whether or not you've got an amazing family, whether you've got a loving family, whether or not you feel really alone, whether or not you've had, you know, a good relationship, you know, with your earthly father, you might not have known your earthly father. Whatever your situation, however you're doing, we're all in kind of different places in life. Actually, each and every single one of us can know that we have a Father in heaven who's a perfect Father who just loves us to bits. And each and every single one of us, as we journey through life, through the thick and thin, can know, I am significant, I'm accepted, I'm secure, I'm loved. That's profound. So I'd just like to just quickly pray for us, just with that little bit. So if you just want to know just Father God's love again, if you kind of feel like, actually, you know, people say I'm a child of God, or, you know, whatever, I don't really get it, or I don't feel like I'm a father, you know, I'm God's kid, or I feel like really insecure, or I don't feel significant, or I don't feel accepted, then I just want to just pray for you this morning. Holy Spirit, you are the gift from Jesus that is given. And you come, and you come to us, and you fill us, and your Spirit in us enables us to cry out, Abba, Father, and to know the closeness of God, which Jesus modeled to us, and he walked in. And I just want to pray for fresh grace for each one of my friends in this room, for each one of my kind of brothers and sisters here, just to know that we have a Heavenly Father who's looking out for us, who's watching over us, who's cheering us on 24/7, who knows us by name, who's calling out, who's cheering each one of us from heaven, just cheering us on, just thinking we're amazing, we're not insecure, we're not insignificant, we're secure, we're accepted, and we're significant. Thank you for that. Thank you that you invite us to know God as Father, Jesus. And I just pray for fresh grace for each one of us to know that in our spirits afresh. Amen. So Jesus is the way, he's the truth, he's the life. So coming in reverse, so that's there's a fatherhood piece, and then there's the life. To me, when I read that, what does it mean that Jesus is the life? My mind goes to the beginning of the book of John, which goes like this. In the beginning, the Word already existed. The Word was with God, and the Word was God. He existed in the beginning with God. God created everything through him, and nothing was created except through him. The Word gave life to everything that was created, and this life brought light to everyone. The light shines in the darkness, and the darkness can never extinguish it. When Jesus says he is the life, he's the life. He's the source of it all. He was there in the beginning, and he's the creator. He's the inventor of dolphins, quantum physics, of gold, of coal, of children, of laughter, of poetry, of music, of sex, of governance, of trees, of butterflies, of honey, of food. You know, he's the source of it all. He's the life source of it all. And to me, there's an invitation to know Jesus as the source. I am the way, the truth, and the life. He's the life. And there's an invitation to know the awesomeness of Jesus, and to appreciate the awesomeness, and to remember the awesomeness of Jesus. And as we are filled with the Holy Spirit, as we know our adoption as sons and daughters, as we understand the fact that God is our Father and we are put on this earth to bear the image of God, we too should be speakers and bringers of life like he is. So what I want to do is I want us to do that right now with someone. Who wants to volunteer to have life spoken over them? Kerry, do you want to stand up here? Jean, do you want to stand up here? No, sorry, I've only got two volunteers. Oh, come on, Ali, come on, you've had a rough few weeks. Okay, ladies, stand at the front. And I just want everyone just to call out. You've got to say which one you're talking about now. This is, I mean, multiple volunteers makes it a bit more tricky. Let's go for Jean first. Folks, what do you see over Jean? What do you like about her? What do you see?
Lady of Peace.
She radiates light.
She radiates
light. Well, one at a time, please. Mick? Gentleness. Faithful.
Full of faith.
Enthusiasm.
Kindness.
Adventure.
Humility.
Compassion. Whoa. Caring. Alan?
Beauty.
Good man. Good man. Brownie points. Prayer warrior.
Keith,
did you say one? Encourager. Should we just like just give a cheer for Jean?
Yeah.
Come on, Jean. You can sit down. Right, what do we see over Ali?
Stoicism.
Bravery.
Passion,
wisdom,
fire.
Vision, fire,
sparkle,
outrageous,
tenacious,
courage. I see courage as well.
Fearless.
Where's the gentleness and
courage? I just see a lamb. Sheila, love.
Thank you.
Resilience. Pete.
Beauty.
Ability to cut through crap.
Joy-filled.
Talented.
A mother.
Fun.
Passionate.
Generous.
Joy-bringer.
Thank you, guys.
Should we give her a cheer?
Yeah.
Hello. Mick.
Smoking hot.
Anyone else? Linda also thinks you're smoking hot. Funny,
tenacious.
I think you're really fun. I think you're so fun to be around.
Consistent.
Caring.
Creative.
Hospitable.
Chef.
Laborer.
Chef.
Faithful and a breakthrough lady. Cheeky. Songwriter, sensitive,
worshipper,
great friend, full of grace,
talented,
a mum.
Beautiful.
Easy, Phil.
Proper gem.
Should we give Kerry a round of applause?
Yeah.
Kerry! So Jesus, you know, he's the life. He's the life source. He's constantly radiating life. And he wants us to bear his image and to be bringers of life, speakers of life in our lives. So let's continue to try and be bringers, life bringers, speaking life over one another. Jesus is also the truth. And from my perspective, I think, you know, I totally agree with what Johnny said. You know, he is the, you know, the only kind of like paradigm, the only way of seeing the world that to me that I've experienced that makes sense. But I, when I was thinking about what does it mean that Jesus is the truth, I thought actually this is not about a head thing. There's knowing, and there's knowing, and truth is something to be experienced. To really know something is to be experienced. Where's my brother? If I say, Matthew, love you, think you're great, that's nice, isn't it? That's nice. Matthew, if you just come over here. If I say, well, if you come here. If I say, Matthew, you know, I love you. You can know the truth, and you can experience the truth. And Jesus wants to experience the truth of his gospel. You know, and if we know that actually, you know, in theory, in my head, you know, I'm saved, like God loves me, I'm kind of should be free from all condemnation and shame and guilt, and I should be free from the trappings and the control of sin. I should be free from comparison, and I should be free from the constraints of, you know, materialism and, you know, desire to get ahead, and, you know, there are certain impacts that the gospel should have in our lives, and if we're not experiencing them, then I want to suggest that we might be doing something wrong. Because the truth of Christ in our lives should really, we should make a difference. We should feel, we should know the impact. We should be knowing what is the impact that Jesus is having in my life. And if we're not experiencing those things, then that's okay. And I've been very like open with my journey of being like great places in my faith and nowhere in my faith. And we all go through ups and downs. But actually, the goodness of God, the truth of God, the love of God, the saving power of the Holy Spirit should not be something we just know in our heads. It should be a truth that is experienced. Jesus says, you will know the truth and the truth shall set you free. It's an experiential thing. So when Jesus says, I'm the way, the truth and the life, the truth is something to be experienced. Cool? And lastly, Jesus, well, he starts off with saying, I'm the way. And to me, when I read that, I think about a path. There are many paths that we can take in life. You know, there are, when I'm on the hillside, you think, you know, which path should I take? Sometimes, you know, the path is clear. Sometimes the path is hard. But actually, you know, we can all choose different paths to take in life. And when Jesus says, I am the way, we know that actually we're on a path. We're choosing a path that actually leads somewhere. It leads to life. It doesn't drop off the side of a cliff. It doesn't end up in a dead end. It doesn't go round and round in circles. It may be a hard path. It may be not clear at times. It may be a painful path. It may have its ups and downs and twists and turns. But actually, it's a path that leads to life. And some of us, you know, we're all walking that path, right? But I just wanted to ask one person who I really admire, who I think has walked the path brilliantly, just to come and share. She's been walking with many with Jesus on the path for many years. Evelyn, I just wanted to kind of honour you and for you just to share some of your thoughts. You know, you've walked the path through ups and downs, twists and turns. What would your advice to us be around how to know the way and follow the way of Jesus?
I think it's really interesting that God brings us to specific crossroads and he gives us a choice. And I think it's really important. I've known this in my own life. I had a non-Christian boyfriend for 4 years and we were fully committed to marry. And I took him to church one day when my brother was preaching and he said, I can never come to church with you again. I can't bear to see you kneel down and pray to a God I don't believe in. And I knew I had to make a choice, and I walked away. And I met Roger within a very short time, but Roger and I had to be led on a path, and we were brought to specific crossroads. And at All Saints Church, they brought in a new service, and it said, Almighty God, I offer unto thee myself, my soul and body, as a living sacrifice to you. Send us out into the world and in thy power and Holy Spirit, that I may live to your praise and glory. And again, we had to make a choice. And it was at the time when we were seeking to be filled with the Holy Spirit. And that was another choice. And we're told to take every thought captive and make it obey Christ. And we all get assaulted by life, by things that happen all the way along the line. And we can make a choice whether we trust God or whether we take the responsibility for ourselves. Andrew was saying this morning, he sneezed this morning and his back was jiggered. And my breathing has been absolute rubbish this week. And our bodies belong to the Lord. Our bodies belong to the Lord, and we have to make choices in what we do with our bodies. And I just wrote down one or two things from the songs that we sang this morning, and they're really serious. They're really serious songs. It says, you are our one desire. That's a very serious call on our lives. Another one is, you are mine and I'm yours. That has to be a daily choice. Is Jesus our first love? That's a daily choice. Jesus made a choice every day, not just on the cross. He didn't give himself to us on the cross. He made a choice every single day. So.
Awesome. Thank you, Evelyn. Great advice. You are one of my heroes. So Jesus is the way. You know, he's the path. And do you know what that speaks to me? It's an invitation to, again, to know security. You know, hands up, who feels at the moment insecure about the future, about what the future holds? I personally, you know, I don't have a job in under 2 months. You know, I'm insecure about what the future holds. But I know that I'm on the right path. I know that I am secure because it might be foggy ahead, but I'm on the path of Christ, and it's the path that leads to life. So we can know security in our spirits. We know that we're on a good path, a path that leads to life. So I want to finish by, I'd like us to pray for everyone who put their hand up. So if you could just put your hand up again, if you're feel insecure about what the future holds, if you feel just, you know, just nervous about that, if you could maybe stand, and that'd be great. And then what I'd love us to do is to pray for one another, and just to pray that we would know Jesus, who says he is the way. And we pray that we would know fresh confidence in the fact that we're on a good path. It's going in a good direction. So, guys, if you feel comfortable and you want to just get up and just pray for one of the people that are standing, then go for that now. That'd be good. And I'll just kind of say kind of a blanket prayer whilst we do that. Lord Jesus, I thank you that you are the way. And you never promise an easy path. You never promise a comfortable path. You know, the path is unknown. You've called us to adventure. You've called us to a path which is twisting and turning and up and down, and is just unique to each one of us. And in our insecurity, in our unknowing about the future, I just pray that your peace would come and still our fears. your peace and your love and your spirit would come and just fill us afresh and would fill our minds and our hearts. And we would know that as we're journeying into the future, in life and beyond, that actually we're with you. And we're walking your way, your path. And we thank you that we can trust in that. And I pray for fresh grace for each one of us to know a trust deep within our souls. The same trust or a similar trust that you must have had when you went to the cross, Jesus. Just a real profound trust. I ask for grace for us to have that. In Jesus' name, amen.